Okay, good morning, and let's join together in prayer, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this beautiful day. After months and months of just rain, it's so nice to see sun and to be out and about and to enjoy Sunday morning with our church family. We ask that you will open our hearts and our eyes this morning as we study your word. many times I think we get so, the story is intense and it can get confusing or get too dry. Even when we think about it, but I pray that you do help us to simplify it in through the way that you speak to each one of us individually. That even if it's just a small point, a small part of the passage, that you would speak to us there and that we would be able to camp on it. And we would be able to find you in that ever small voice. We thank you for this morning. And lift the rest of the time into your hands. In your name we pray. Amen. And join on. Don't join audio, right, Daniel? Okay. All right, cool. All right. and last time we were talking about Abraham, right? Remember when Abraham had to take his son Isaac to sacrifice Isaac, and then we talked about how God was testing Abraham. God was testing Abraham and what was in Abraham's heart, right? That's where we left off last week. And we have a lot more to go, so I'm not going to spend too much time reviewing, but you know how sometimes when you have a very important event, a test, a volleyball tournament, or a, can I say even an important dance that you have to go to, like a homecoming? Do you guys have homecoming, Sadie Hawkins, still? Is that a big thing? That's a big thing, okay. So, or a job interview. A wedding, right, that's coming up for Kevin's and I. Just important events. And do you know that the preparation time, do you guys ever have that feeling that it's kind of slow motion? Does that happen to you guys? When, think about it, like when you're preparing for something really intense, like you notice each movement. You notice what's going through your mind. Maybe you're just rushing through it because we're so used to it. But do you kind of notice it? Like you gotta be in the zone. So you notice everything you eat, everything you touch, everything you listen to, everything what you're putting on. That's why a lot of athletes have their own routine. They don't like people messing with them, right? Like if it's NBA championship, like they all have their routine. Some people don't have a routine, but a lot of them do because they just know that in that preparation, there is a routine that they gotta go through. You guys have that? You felt that before? Yeah? Bob, you're going like this. Like in what areas? Like just briefly describe it.
Briefly, maybe meeting like a manager or a director for the first time. Mm-hmm. I make sure I shower.
I
don't put on deodorant.
That's important.
I want them to notice how I'm dressed before noticing how I smell.
Okay, yeah.
So, make sure, I spend extra time doing my hair, right? Make sure I'm selecting the tie that looks.
Yeah, and nice. There's a certain mental state that you're in, right? when you're making sure your hair is right, you're
everything
making sure
be
you
perfect.
Smell, you're trying to at least,
trying.
Right, to make sure everything's okay. And when I was preparing this part of the message, this part of the passage, many of the commentators pointed out that you got to notice the details. We kind of skip through it, but you notice the author really slows it down for us to show that this was a big deal for Abraham, right? Obviously, when you are taking, when God is asking you to take your son to the mountain to sacrifice him, can you imagine? So he's in his mental state. He's really focused. He doesn't understand why, but yet he's following God. Should he? Why? All these things going through. And he's just taking his time. He rose early in the morning. What do you think he's thinking about when he rose early? He's getting everything ready. Is this the last time I'm going to see my son? What am I going to talk to Isaac about on the way? He's putting on the saddle. Oh, this is the saddle which my son will sit on, or we will sit on, but this will be the last time. Right? And he cut the wood as he's cutting. Oh, I'm cutting the wood to put my son on. This is going to be used to start the fire, sacrifice. And, you know, I think we're old enough to burn him up, right? See, these details are, the author actually slows us down. And I just wanted to point that out so that we don't rush through this next time you're reading it, that the author is intentionally in the passage to slow us down, be very detailed in all of Abraham's preparation, right? He lifted, as he's approaching Mount Moriah, we'll learn later, that he lifted up his eyes. And he said to his servants, his young men, he says, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there, worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood, laid it on Isaac, his son. He took his hand in the fire, the fire and the knife. So they both of them went together. So you can think about the type of the mental state he's in, and you can kind of just, won't go into detail, but we kind of think about the mental state you're in when you're preparing for important events in your life, or when you're engaged with God in a very detailed, in a very intense way, in different seasons of your life. Like, God is asking you to do something, and there's tension, and there's struggle, and there's asking, and there's pleading, and all the things that you have to go through that people may not see, but you know. And Abraham is going through the same thing too. So just, you know, I just wanted to point that out. So maybe that's something that you can be mindful of. I want to ask, where is Abraham's faith first verbally expressed in this passage? So through all the preparation, he's having this intense moment. Where does he express his faith in the midst of this struggle to sacrifice his son? You guys see it in this passage?
Verse 5.
Verse 5, can you read it for us?
Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkeys. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to see.
So where's the faith statement?
It's basically, I and the boy will go over there, meaning going over to be
okay.
Chopped.
And where's the faith statement?
I don't see a faith statement, but I see increments of like the expression of the faith. Like not the whole thing, but the fact that he got up and got the stuff ready is kind of an act of I'm gonna do this.
Okay.
You know, going. Taking just the sun, like all those are just kind of like mini steps to getting closer, but it's a, to me, it's an act of faith and intent, so.
Okay, yeah. Bob said, come again. What does he mean by come again?
Coming back. Coming back, my boy.
Yeah, I'm coming back again. Interesting. We shall come back again. So something is going on here. He's saying, I'm going to sacrifice my son Isaac. I'm going to obey God because that's what God told me to do. And as he's going through all this, he's passing, he's telling his servants, we're going to go back there and we will come back again. Plural. Original language. We'll come back again. I mean, that's, is that lying? Is that faith? Because I'm taking my son to sacrifice and he says, I'll be back again, me and my boy. Keep that in your head and see what happens. And Isaac said to his father, my father, he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold, a fire in the wood, but where is the lamb for burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. And when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. And then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. So faith is expressed again in verse 8. Can someone read that? Brother Kai, can you read verse 8?
Abraham said, God will provide for himself the land for burnt offering, my son. So they both went up with them together.
Yeah. So he said, we will come back again. And then he says to his son, God will provide the land, even though he's putting him on the stake and he's going to use the knife to slaughter son, but yet he's saying God will provide. So do you guys know what exactly does Abraham have faith for? What do you think he's having faith for in this sense? If you can get in your groups and talk about that, and I have a passage for you guys to read as well. So maybe groups of 3 or 4. What do you think, and there's no right or wrong answer, what do you think, eventually there's a right answer, but what do you think he has faith for? Like as detailed as you can, or as specific, I should say. What do you think Abraham has faith for at this point? All right, We'll start with this group here. What'd you guys? I heard some interesting stuff. That's why you guys are closest. What do you think Abraham, old Abe, think God was going to do?
One of the things he said was he was going to like be resurrected again.
He's going to be resurrected? How does he even know? He's never seen such a thing. Where did he get that idea? Why would you? If you were sacrificing your son, I know your dad doesn't want to even think about, but why would you think that God's going to resurrect? How about you, Abby? Did you say, what did you think? You thought that way too?
I was kind of thinking that, well, I didn't really go based off of the question.
Okay. I like it. You like to go deep.
You answer whatever question you want.
That's right. Okay.
I can't.
I prefer that. I prefer to go with the flow. Go ahead. Answer your question.
I was kind of thinking that Abraham was like, was really sad.
Yeah.
And he was like, what, like his train of thought was like really sad because like he's about to kill his son. Like he has so much like faith, that like God will do something, he has so much faith in God that he's like about to kill his son.
He has so much faith in God that God will do something. Somehow, but yet he's gonna kill his son. So that, I know, it is that very strange tension, right? That strange balance, right? What is going on? Is he gonna kill his son, or is God gonna do something? Okay, Clara, did you have any thoughts about that? I know you came in a little later, but maybe you do. It's okay, yeah, all right. How about this group here?
Well, I guess I would say that it's not because like the event sad that like Abraham has faith that God will do something. It's that like Abraham had these like past promises from God.
Oh, okay.
So I guess the one I remember is like your offspring will be like the number of stars in the sky. So if Isaac is dead, then how will Abraham have more than one offspring?
Impossible.
Yeah. Okay. And I guess like if the Hebrews verse you recommended we read, it claims like God said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." So
okay, that's a good
indication
one.
That Isaac needs to produce offspring.
Okay. See that's interesting. So you got the resurrection. That's full faith, full blown faith right there, right? Okay, that's huh? That is faith 2.5.0, okay? Then you have like, hey, I have faith, but I kind of obey. So you got this tension, and then the promises. He's very sad, but then he has all these promises, like, no way, right? Because God promised me. How is Isaac going to die if God promised me? Okay, how about like there? Anyone? You guys?
I think Abraham experiencing kind of the pattern in which God says he's going to do something, but it's not always like the way Abraham expects it to be done. Like maybe his faith is like, okay, he asked me to do this, but this can't be it, I think. Like to him, this is not end all be all. It's not that clear cut. There's something else. Like I'm just going to believe that whatever he's asking me to do, that there's more to it.
Okay.
I'm just going to do my part.
Okay.
It's the faith in what he doesn't know. Like,
right.
He's just doing what God asked him to do, but I think he's believing that there is something more to it.
Yeah, but he just doesn't know.
He just doesn't know.
So he's saddling up the donkey. He's combing his hair and all these, you know, we were talking about the details in the whole process. He's probably just saying, I don't know. But God's going to do something.
Faith in the unexpected.
He's chopping the wood.
Right?
He's like, I'm going to sacrifice my son. I can't, I'm going to take this knife. I'm going to stab him. But he, as he's preparing that knife, sharpening it, he says, there's no way, right? God's going to do something. So he's going through all this stuff as he's preparing. Yeah, he may be saying, no way. Okay, how about the group in the back? What'd you guys come up with?
Well, maybe the same. We had a good time chatting and catching up with a new old
sister. That's cool. All right. Hi, welcome. Yes, welcome, sister.
Yes, Rebecca.
Rebecca.
She came to our church with her family about 19 years ago.
All right.
That was 19 years ago.
Wow, 19 years ago. Welcome back.
She visited today. Right. She recognized us. We didn't fully recognize her.
Mm.
We don't have enough Rebeccas.
We have a lot of Rebeccas.
Junior. It's a popular name.
But I think Mabel might have some thoughts.
Mabel might. Okay.
Yeah, please.
I think Abraham knows, because he loves God so much that he knows that God is going to have do something.
Do something.
Don't know what, but he knows that he needs to obey.
Okay.
And whether Isaac's going to die, or maybe God's going to give another Isaac to him.
Okay, maybe give him.
He had Isaac when he was like 29 or 100.
Yeah,
right?
I can have it when I'm 100 too.
So, that might be another Isaac.
Okay, I see. Okay, so maybe another son. And I'm going to do this over again. Okay.
So, faith is a progression, right? So, I'm glad you, before even leading us to this passage in Hebrews, I thought you were very intentional about mentioning these two verses first.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where is this, the statement that's the
statement of faith.
Statement of faith, right?
Yeah.
I think that was very key. And you set this up very well. And at least it helped me understand. Because before, we see Abraham's faith like just up and down, all over the place, very inconsistent, right? I think he's learning.
Yeah.
You know, because faith is a progression, right?
Right,
up to this point, he's thinking, we're going to come back. Me and my son are going to come back, both of us.
Yeah.
Right? And God himself will provide for us.
Yeah.
Then you kind of help me to kind of, as a process of my thinking, yeah, then at this point he can say, I'm going to go.
Yeah.
Like, even, you know, it's a progression, right? But I think at this point he's ready to, you know, like, I'm going to do it. And, you know, promise that this line is going to be through Isaac. No one else. Through Isaac.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to do it and just to see what happens. But I think he's strong enough now in his faith that he's going to do it.
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that. That's great. Thank you, Bob. Faith is a progression. He's at a point, he's gone through so much. He's at a point, I'm just going to do it. Crazy, right? For the rest, I was like crazy, but he has faith statement. He says, he doesn't even know. He says, we'll come back. Can you imagine saying that? Yes, Rebecca.
I'm sorry. That was a very good question. For me, my opinion, and maybe you're wrong, God in all, God wants to fulfill his promise from the Abraham, because your descendant will be, you know, like the sheep.
Stars in the sky.
Yes, has been a sign. But go through all this, Abraham, just like us, we just like him, we fell. Two times he lied, used his wife to lie, try to escape. He thinks that way he can escape the killed by, not even the
Abimelech.
That's it. And also, he was, he goes through all those trials, but in the end, he fulfilled, because God's this, Messiah,
mm-hmm.
it has to be from the Abraham descendant.
Yeah.
That's the most important.
Yes.
Even other things interfere, even Abraham tried to lie, even Abraham, you know, go through all this trial, but still in all, God saved this,
Line.
Line, right.
That's good, thank you, sister.
I'm sorry.
No, that's
my first time with my broken English.
That's great, because you just mentioned the most important thing is there is God's promise,
yes,
and there's human faith,
yes,
all intersecting at once in Abraham. Both are happening at the same time. Of course, God's promise is the most important because he's the one who sees it through. And you have Abraham's faith. So it's good for us to see what is going on, because this is very practical for our own lives too, right? Because we have God's promise and we have our own faith that we have to walk out. I'm going to help us to kind of see Abraham's progression of faith practically with this question, okay? I want you to think about a movie or a song that you have watched 5 times more, maybe 10 times, or a song that you listen to 10 times more. Just a lot. I want you to think about it. Just really quickly, 2 minutes. One movie that you know, or a song. It doesn't matter what it is. Just share with each other. I mean, we all got one, right? Okay, break into small groups and then just
share about a movie that you've seen for 5 or 10 times.
Doesn't matter. A lot of times, or you've seen multiple times. Because some people don't watch movies, but most people do. And most people have a favorite movie and or a song. Oh, there are comments. Okay, let me see some comments. Oh, yeah. Okay, let's come back. L-O-T-R. Only the ones who know knows.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Only the ones know what L-O-T-R is. Who knows what L-O-T-R is?
Abby
knows. Oh,
Abby?
You know what L-O-T-R is?
Lord of the Rings. Yeah. Nice, Justin. Extended version.
Oh, wow.
That's 5 hours.
Yeah, 15 hours.
Yeah, it's already something like 3 hours. Wow. Star Trek. Okay, so you've watched extended version, Justin, multiple times. That's a lot of hours in your life. But I get it. It's one of the best. Anybody else just like, shout it out. What did you, what's your favorite movie that you watched? Godfather, multiple times. Okay.
Gone with the Wind.
Jane Eyre.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. That's good. That's good. Start. Anybody else?
Sound of Music.
Oh, you Sound of Music. You guys are classic. Okay. I'm sorry, man. I am too forward. Anyone else that watched movies in the 20th? That's different.
My Fair Lady.
My Fair Lady? Yes. Anyone else?
Jumanji.
Jumanji?
The new one.
Jumanji.
The Rock.
Okay.
It's
the
probably
Rock.
The only thing that I have on.
Okay. All right.
Mission Impossible.
Ethan Hunt. Yes. That's good. Anyone else? Tom Cruise movies, right?
Star Wars.
Yes. Scott mentioned Star Trek. Okay, Star Wars. So, all songs. Anyone have songs that you just listen to a lot? I know you guys were mainly talking about movies. I want to give you a chance to share your songs. Yeah. I have a song, but I don't listen to it. Okay, so what happens? I heard Abby say it. What happens when you watch this movie so many times? You know what?
You just recite it.
You're speaking with the Rock.
Yes,
you are the Rock.
You are the Rock. When you watch LOTR for many hours, you are Gandalf. Right, Justin? Right? So, there's another comment. You are Gandalf.
Or you're Gollum.
You are Gollum, yes! Of course! my gosh, yes! Yes, I did that many times. You embody one of the characters. There's something that speaks to you. You embody one of the characters, right? I never seen Gone with the Wind, so I don't embody that. But I'm sure you do, Rebecca. You understand, yeah. You gasp because it's so near and dear, right? You know it. You know the whole story, the storyline, the character, the conflict. The love story is in there. It means something. It's inside you. You got it. Right, Bob? Did you want to mention something?
You already know what happens. You know the ending.
You know the ending. And you want to see it again, even though you know it. You want to see it again. So.
Each time you see it, you learn something different.
You learn something different.
Just like the Genesis. Yeah. Each and whenever it's a little something, right. We learn, heard a story. But then now, when I go back and read those stuff, mm-hmm. Genesis, Book of Genesis.
Oh yeah.
There's something new.
Yeah. So,
I didn't even understand that, you know, that time.
Right.
Still, I have the new light.
Yes. Even though the story has not changed, the movie does not change.
Yes.
The words have always been there.
No. Yeah.
It does not change, but you learn something new. About the character. You learn
especially
something new.
The Bible.
Yes. 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 You learn something new about Gollum or. I have my own, but we gotta move on. So, you learn something new. It's very near and dear. And I suspect that the progression of faith that Bob was talking about and that Kevin was talking about, where he knew God's promises, was like this movie that he replayed and watched over again. For him to get to the point where I'm going to, this is crazy, but God's going to change it. He's going to do something. How do you even get to that point? At the expense of exhausting all the stuff that went up to this very point through these verses. Let's just quickly read it. This is in his mind for many, 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 many. This is the movie that he replayed many, many, many years, right? See how many times the Lord replayed this movie, or how he recalled or heard from the Lord. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. So Abraham went. As the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him, Abraham was 75 years old when he parted from Haran. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar. He built there an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. And Abraham was very rich in stock and silver and gold. For all the land that you see, I will give you and your offsprings forever. I will make your offspring as dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring can also be counted. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham, by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in the vision, fear not, Abraham, I am your shield. The reward shall be very great. You get the point? You can read all this. No longer your name shall be Abraham. You shall be our Abraham, for I have made you a father of a multitude of nations. So this is... this movie, if you will, continue to be in Abraham. Not only is Abraham remembering things and probably recorded it, but God continues to appear and talk to him and tell him and reminding him, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. In Genesis 17, I will make you exceedingly fruitful. So much Jumanji in him. That he has embraced, it's him now. This is who I am. This is who I am. This is who I am. Right? At first, he says, I'm going to make this happen. That's why he had Sarah to go into his servant and gave birth to Ishmael. Right? We talked about that. But it became so much in him, and all comes to this climax where he sacrifices his son. And he says, this God has promised me so much. It has to be true. He's convinced of it, right? He's so convinced, what Kevin said, he's so convinced of it with all these promises that he says, I'm going to just do it. I'm going to just do it and trust God.
I think there's something that I think, you know, this is one of the greatest stories in the Bible, and but it's also for our lives. Our faith has to rest on God's promise, which is God's word. If God didn't speak it and imagine it to be, you're not gonna know if something's gonna happen.
Very good.
How hungry your faith is, right? I mean, no. I believe he's strong enough, but God didn't say it that you're not gonna. You won't have the certainty.
Right. You won't have the certainty. Right.
So our faith becomes great when we know that it is the promise of God and his word that declared it for us, right? In scripture, or he clearly reveals to us. Then our faith goes to, and you're talking about it. But I think that there's something also in God's grace that we need to know. It is our faith on God's promise, on God's word specifically. But you know what? The faith grows when we experience the fulfillment of this promise.
Yes.
Because Abraham at this point, as you're pointing out, he didn't just keep receiving the promise from God. He did, but he's never seen a nation. He hasn't seen a nation. He hasn't seen, you know, millions of people going into a land. He hasn't seen that, right? He hasn't seen the nations being blessed by his descendants, right? So that promise has yet to be fulfilled. But there are plenty of promises that he has experienced, including the fact that when God says you will have a son, and he had a son, and then he made a son himself, right? Using men's way to fulfill God's promise. And God clearly said, that is not the way I'm saying it. It's going to be through your wife, who is like 99 years old, right?
Yeah.
And so when he experienced that, what God in his grace said to Abraham is, remember, I promised you a son, and you had faith that you're going to have a son, but let me show you how I fulfill my promise to you. And so when he saw that God's promise is fulfilled in his son Isaac, that is the promised son fulfilled, right? So if that is a son God has sent to him, and then all of the promises, all of a sudden now his faith took a giant, not leap, but like a giant growth, because he says, I just need to hold on to God's word and God will make it happen.
Yeah.
I don't know how I will make it happen, but I will go and do what God says. Even going onto the mountain, I think you point that out, that little detail where he went up and he said to his servant, okay, we're going to go up there and then we're just going to worship God and come back to you. He's the only one who knows that he's supposed to kill Isaac.
Yeah.
So what does he believe? You ask that. We're going to get to that later. Like, what does he really believe when he said that? Is it because, well, I'm just going to have faith something's going to happen? Or I have faith in knowing that God has already promised something, and in my experience, I know something can happen.
God will prepare.
No.
I said the past.
Somehow.
That way is that we have everything. One is the land.
Yeah.
And then the Abraham answer, God
will provide a land.
Yeah, he will provide.
He doesn't know how.
He doesn't know, yeah.
But he will provide something, right? To sacrifice instead of his son.
Yeah.
But see, he doesn't know how because God didn't tell him how.
No.
But he knows God will provide because God told him.
But I don't know though. But God will. But I don't know. I mean, that's life, right? I don't know. But God will. But I don't know how. But God will.
I don't know the how, but I will do what God tells me to do, because the only reason he's offering Isaac is because he is because God told him.
But even so, I think it's all embedded. He does it because he has great faith in God will do something.
And also predicted Isaiah, the prophet,
There's some, yeah.
The Lamb of God, Jesus, the New Testament. The Old Testament is
yeah.
the Lamb. The New Testament. New Testament is the Lamb of God. That's the Lamb. I said, Abraham. Also, wait for 25 years, Abraham finally had Isaac.
Yeah.
25 years. In the chapter 21, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Remember his promise that Sarah had births.
Yeah.
Isaac, when you look at 21, chapter 21. The first, 21,
uh-huh.
That way, Abraham waited for 25 years. Oh, no way, it's 25 years, that's a long time.
Too long.
Like, yeah, too long. But Abraham waited for 25 years. Finally.
Mm-hmm.
That's his faith.
25 years is a long time to learn that, right?
Are you, I don't know if you prepared, are we going to look at Hebrews 11? Also,
we already did. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
right here. Where is it? Right.
So 11. I think Kevin read 18. Right. Like Kevin read 18, where he had a certain faith because God says. Because here in Scripture, right in Hebrews, it actually explains to us what kind of faith Abraham had. Right. So verse 17 it says, "This is the faith Abraham had." Number one, it is that God's promises through Isaac, you shall have your offspring be named. Do you have the?
So
yeah. and then verse 19, he considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead.
That's Bethany's comment.
Yeah.
When the faith 5.0.
Right? Yeah. So, but how is it? But then I think so that caught my attention too is. How is it that at that point he's able to know that God can raise the dead?
How?
But is it out of nowhere?
Mm-hmm.
See, do you see that? Like,
yeah.
How can we have such kind of faith? Like, I don't know, but I just believe. Like, how can you believe something like that?
How can you believe
Where
something?
Does it come from?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking because, see, Abraham can't have, no man, I believe, can have a faith that comes from nothing. He has something that he knows God can do. He has seen almost to a point where something that was dead came to life. It's his wife. Because when you look at his wife, the scripture actually says her womb is closed.
Yeah.
She is not a person who can have
yeah.
children. She just can't. But if God can cause someone to have a baby when she's 90,
he can resurrect someone.
Then. That's what I mean. Like, no, it's still something more than he has seen.
Yes.
See, his faith is not just based on what he has seen and experienced, but his faith is God said, my wife Sarah will have a kid, and this impossible thing happens because God said it. So if God's going to bring my son and kill him, but yet he's the promised son, God must be able to bring something that is impossible to
yeah.
us. Right?
Yeah. So that's amazing because it is a progression and it's very fluid. In our life, like you mentioned, in our life, this is probably why we go through really intense situations where we get to see something almost impossible. And then we see it come to pass. And then we get to believe the next impossible. And we saw it come to pass. Then we get to next impossible. Come to pass. And you get to a point that you see so many, I would say, a little impossibles that you say, you know what, God's going to raise him from the dead. What? You don't just get that from day one. No way, right? Abraham didn't have that faith. But at this point, when he's able to sacrifice Isaac, he says, God's going to bring him back. Even the Bible says it. Hebrews says it. He even considered that God was going to just be able to raise Isaac. Even if I did kill him, he'll come back to life. Crazy faith. 5.0, for sure. So it's that progressive. So maybe in your life, you might have your little impossibles right now. And God is saying, trust me, I'm going to show you a little miracle And you're like, oh wow, it happened. That was almost impossible. And then you get to believe the next impossible. And that's how the progression of faith happens. But it is on the promises of God, of course, right? But God never promised him that Isaac was going to be raised from the dead. Abraham just knew that God had that power if he wanted.
Right.
Right.
I think one thing that as we look at his type of faith, what the scripture doesn't say explicitly, but implicitly we understand that just because Abraham had such faith that even if he killed his son, God can raise him from the dead because he trusts God so much by now. His faith is so strong.
So strong. Uh-huh.
It does not make this event easy for him whatsoever.
Yeah.
Because I think I wasn't here last week, but you asked this question, why did God say to Abraham, Abraham, I want you to take Isaac. He is your only son. He's the one son whom you love. Because Abraham loved his son. Imagine a man who never had a son, just wanted a son, waited till 100 years, saw a miracle God gave him. He's going to treasure that son.
Yeah.
He's going to baby that son. Right?
Yeah.
He waited so long for it. And so how, do you think it's easy just because he had faith in God that he can take this kid that he raised for 10, 15 years and bring him up there and then know that God was killed? It's not easy.
No.
It is a hard internal struggle and sacrifice that he had before God, but he's going to go God's way. But it's not easy. I every time I read this passage, it just tells me he wakes up early in the morning because I bet you he couldn't sleep all night. Right? He got up.
There's no way.
And then he's taking his boy. His boy's like, I'm going on the mountain with dad. You know, having a good time carrying all this stuff. And the dad's like looking at this, and like, I'm going to have to put you on the altar. That, while he knows God will provide somehow.
Yeah.
But imagine that if he says he still has to be the one who will hold that knife and sacrifice that stuff, which he did already in his heart.
Yeah.
It is a internal, like a lot of struggle, but a lot of obedience and submission to God, you know, and a true sacrifice that brings a lot of pain, but it's based on his faith. And that's what brings Abraham to our level, you know, a human level. He's not superhuman, he's human. That's how God will work in all of our lives. That's how I feel, you know, like that's how a Christian's faith genuinely grows and changes because it touches the deepest part of our soul. It is a struggle, and then it is sacrificial, it is painful, but then it is a yielding to God. And then seeing God does the impossible.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Abraham's faith is really our journey as well.
His witness is our journey too.
Yeah. We, you know, it may not be our son, but it is our something.
Your only something.
Whatever it may
your,
be.
Whatever you love
something
the most.
Whatever something is, whatever that something is, we don't even, you know in your heart that there's something. There's something you just, it's just that something, you just know. It's just too hard. Right? We didn't get to what the name of God. it actually means God will provide. Jehovah Jireh, right? The actual word is he will see. He will be seen. God will be seen in this moment. God will be seen. Abraham saw God. God will be revealed. So Jehovah Jireh, even though we say, oh, God provide, yes, God will provide. But more importantly, that whole word encapsulates the meaning that God will be revealed in that moment. He will see to it. You will see him. He will be revealed. I just coined the term he will see to it. And it is based on his plans, his promises, his purpose. He will see to it, right? And then now I finally get why we're asked to know his word, know his promises, and know his will. Because if we know his will, if we know his promises, then we know he will see to it. He'll make it happen. But if we're not in his will, yeah, you can believe all you want. It may not happen, right? And nothing wrong with God. It's just that you don't know his will. I mean, that's a whole other, I'm learning that. What is his will? What is his promise, right? But I think I want to end it here. The point of it is, there's a reason why we want to know his word. There's a reason why we want to know his promise. Not because we have to. We actually want to, because when we know his promise, we know he will see to it. He will be revealed. He will make it happen, because it's his own promise. And that goes back to what Kevin was mentioning earlier. Abraham was able to have that faith because Abraham knew God's promise to him very well. Very well, right? So Jehovah Jireh, he will provide. He will always provide. Okay. Right, we can go more, but sorry, 35. Brother Kevin, can you pray for us?
Sure.
Is that okay? Sorry to put you on the spot.
Yeah, we just thank you for this name that you've given us, that you will provide, that Lord, you've given us a way to know what your will is and to see it in your word, and just the whole set of scripture that many times seems so long, but that there's just so much that we can learn from. And Lord, we just thank you for Frank for teaching us this, and just pray for the upcoming service, and it would just continue to expand our time of worship to you. In Jesus' name, we pray.